You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, ELT. I'm wondering about the limbo. Seems kind of like a weird thing, right? Like, where'd that come from?
Hello?
Hey, Aurelia, it's Flora from ELT.
Hey, Flora.
So, how low does your curiosity go?
How low does my curiosity go? It's pretty low, I guess.
What's your relationship with limbo? Like, when's the last time you really did it? Who was there? What was the music? How sober or not were you?
I think it was always like, I was always like a preteen.
So you were wasted.
Yeah, definitely. I do remember kind of trying to look cool while limboing. There was always like a last person. And I thought that would be really impressive if that could be me, but I don't think it really ever was.
What about now?
Mm-hmm.
When do you think it makes sense to break out the limbo now? Like what occasions? Like, you know, defending your doctoral thesis, bris.
Did you say bris? Because I'm actually going to a bris pretty soon.
Oh my God.
For my cousin. So I feel like she maybe wouldn't be impressed if I brought out the limbo pole.
I was thinking the exact opposite, that you now know what you should bring.
Yeah, I'll fly it with me from San Francisco.
I guess you'd need like a little portable boom box or something.
Yeah, I could put it on my shoulder when I walk into the party.
Holding the pole.
And I like put little baby like rattles and shoes all over the pole so that they know it's for this occasion.
You could yell out, how low can you moil? So what made you crab walk over to the phone and call us?
Well, I was with my friend walking down the street the other day, like trying to dodge some trees. There was like this, I don't know, like a willow tree like hanging down, and you kind of had to bend over to avoid it. So instead of bending over forward like a normal person, I bent over backwards and I was like, haha, I'm doing the limbo. And I was like, that's strange.
You were like, limbo is strange.
Yeah.
Put it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the weirdest.
I think, if 10 is the weirdest, I think it's maybe like an 8. The fact that somebody decided to lean over backwards and make it into like a competition and like a party game just isn't, I just don't think I could have come up with that.
You mean because it's like, it's not like other dances?
No, and it's actually like super unnatural, actually. Like our bodies don't want to do that.
Yeah, right. Like it's not part of our usual repertoire of movements.
No. So, I don't know. I guess I'm curious why, like, who started it?
We were curious about that, too. So, we searched high and low and found just the person to answer your question.
Hi, Aurelia.
This is Sonia Dumas.
I live and work in Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh.
I'm a dance practitioner, an educator, a writer. And for those who are Trinidadian and listening, I'm a limer. And a limer means I like to hang out, shoot the breeze with friends, etc.
Aurelia, what's your favorite way to lime?
My lime time? I kind of like to go to like dive bars.
Living the lime life?
Yeah.
All right, enough limbo. Let's get to limbo. Sonia did the legwork to answer your question. She made a documentary about limbo's origins. And its roots are at the very bottom of the Caribbean islands in Trinidad and Tobago.
It was definitely something that the people who were enslaved decided to adopt when they got here as part of their cultural practice.
So the earliest version of the dance, Limbo 1.0, was not a party game. Sonia says it started as a funeral dance.
Wow. It's kind of hard to imagine.
In the old days, when someone died out in the community, they would have a wake. A celebration of the person's life before they were buried.
Would there be music?
There would be drums and there would be singing.
And at this wake, there would also be limbo.
So they would go under the stick and the limbo, the actual effort would start from the bottom and then they would come up.
When she says they start from the bottom and come up, do they mean they kind of start on the ground and then like push themselves up or something?
No, the bar. The bar went from low to high instead of high to low.
The most effort would happen at the beginning, okay? Because it was a kind of metaphor for the soul rising through purgatory into heaven. As in, you are at your most difficult time going through purgatory at the start, and then it would rise.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never would have guessed that had such kind of depressing backstory.
Oh, it's about to get more depressing.
Wow.
So the limbo we know, bending backwards, dancing under a stick, started as a funeral dance in Trinidad and Tobago. But who made it up? Because like you were saying, the limbo doesn't resemble other dances. It's not about rhythm. It's not a partner dance. And Sonia says, you don't see early versions of it in other dances or traditions.
So nobody knows exactly. They can't point to any other dances to see like any hints of who invented it.
Right.
The actual origin, that we really don't know. There are lots of theories. So I don't see the tradition of limbo in Africa. So I suspect that it was something that came out of necessity through the hardship of the African people who came from the continent of Africa to the Caribbean. Where we think it begins is in the Atlantic Passage. Because of the very stark circumstances under which the people who were enslaved had to travel, they were in very small areas, physical areas on the ship. They would have to contort their bodies in certain ways, bent backwards or shuffling the feet when they had to move from one space to the other. That is one theory. There's another theory that says, well, they were taunted on the ships and food was dangled above them. They were made to be low so that they could try and sort of propel themselves upward to get the food. And that's how they began to get strong knees and a strong back, because their lives depended on it. Why we don't see it that prominently in a lot of the islands of the Caribbean or in the United States, I'm not sure. And that's something that history was not likely to tell us, because nothing like that was recorded.
That's awful. It's so like, that's disturbing.
Yeah, it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
Limbo was born out of people being tortured.
Yeah, I never would have guessed that that's how this was going to go.
So that's what we know about the origin of limbo. This is also the saddest thing we're going to tell you today.
Oh, that's the saddest. Oh, we're good. Okay, I was so scared. I thought you said it was going to get worse, and I was like, how is that even possible?
So obviously we're very far away from the limbo of kids' birthday parties of today.
Yeah, I was wondering who decided to change it to be like about the most celebratory occasions.
Yeah. How did it go from a funeral dance to a fune dance?
What is fune, though?
Like fune in the California soon.
Okay.
Limbo's transformation begins with a legendary Trinidadian dancer named Julia Edwards.
If I were to have a one-liner for her, I think I would say she was the greatest innovator of limbo.
She passed away in 2017, but Sonia interviewed her for her documentary.
I think I first met her backstage or something, probably in the early 90s or so. And she was very cool, she seemed very, you know how true royalty is very easy and they're not obsessed with themselves because they just know they have it?
Mm-hmm.
That is how Julia was.
Julia was royalty, limbo royalty. She was often called the first lady of limbo or the limbo queen.
Yeah, that's cool.
As a dancer and choreographer, she brought limbo to the stage.
According to Julia in the film, she talks about mixing culture and nightclub. And what she means is that she's taken the traditions of her country, of her space, and mixed it with a kind of cabaret feel.
So how do you take a funeral dance and transform it into a steaming stage act? Here's how Julia brought the fune. Number one.
She introduced a lot of elaborate costuming, skimpy costumes, a lot of glitter.
She also sometimes ditched the stick for body parts.
Human legs forming the quote-unquote rod. That's what they call the human limbo.
Something to try at the bris.
Yeah.
Little baby legs.
That's pretty cute, actually.
Another innovation. Remember how at funerals, the bar was going from low to high?
Yeah.
Julia changed it up.
They reversed that. they went from high to low because it's more exciting to see, oh, will the person be able to get under there? 6 inches? Oh my goodness, I don't know if they can make it. Right?
It seems like she is a master of injecting tension into this dance.
Indeed, because again, she understood. She was an entertainment guru of her time. She understood. She was a good producer. She said, okay, well, what does my show need next to take it to the next level?
So how did she take Limbo to the next level and set the world on fire?
One of her main innovations was the flaming limbo.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah. So, in fact, what she says and what her dancers say is that they essentially had to do chemical experiments with different methylated spirits, etc., to see exactly how high the flame should be, because there could be a casualty. So they had to do all these things to make sure that everybody was safe and that the fire burned bright enough, but not too bright that it would catch everything afire. So they did all these different experiments, tried to find the right mix of chemicals that would then deliver the proper flame. And that is how the flaming limbo was started.
That would be like really fun to watch.
I know. Julia Edwards' version of limbo takes skill and strength. Even for seasoned limbo experts, it's exciting to watch.
You would think that I would be tired seeing it, but I'm never tired seeing a good limbo. You know, I'm never tired of seeing a good limbo. I mean, personally, I have tried the limbo and it's very difficult. It's just like you need to be anointed a limbo dancer before you actually enter the world with birth. You know, I don't think you can actually just develop into a limbo dancer. It's a gift. And I think that's what intrigues me about the limbo. I can't do it. And I have great respect for those who can.
So how do we go from Julia Edwards' version of limbo, this feat of artistry and athleticism, to the American version of limbo, a kitschy party game?
Chicken limbo,
everyone.
Big fun.
It's chicken limbo, the musical limbo game.
That is after the break. Aurelia, are you having fun yet?
So much foon.
We left off wondering how we go from professionals limboing under a wall of flames in Trinidad to 10-year-olds limboing under a plastic chicken in suburban Ohio. So we went to another expert to find out about limbo's rise in the U.S.
I'm Shane Vogel, and I am a professor of English and theater at Indiana University.
Fair to say you're a limbo expert?
It's fair enough to say, yeah. I don't actually dance myself, so I'm a specialist, but not a performer.
You don't dance yourself at all?
I try not to. If I don't have to, I try not to dance.
So Shane's theory on why limbo made it big in the U.S. has to do with a longstanding American tradition of objectification and appropriation, taking other people's cultures, watering them down, and then repackaging them for sale to white Western audiences.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess that does sound familiar.
Shane gave some examples. Like in the early 1900s, there was a Salome craze.
People were doing Salome dances and the dance of the seven veils across nightclubs and living rooms.
Then in the 1920s,
when King Tut's tomb was discovered, there was a kind of Egyptomania. People were fascinated with mummies and pyramids.
And then, let's not forget, in the 1940s,
like the Polynesian craze that saw tiki bars kind of mushrooming across the country.
Which brings us to the 1950s and a new craze that was sweeping America, a craze that paved the way for limbo to enter shag-carpeted basements everywhere. A craze for calypso music.
Oh.
And this started with the release of Harry Belafonte's album Calypso that famously begins Deo.
Although Harry Belafonte is not Trinidadian, Calypso is, and Americans loved it.
Harry Belafonte's Calypso album was the first LP to sell over 1 million copies in the history of recording.
Stack banana till the morning come.
So this was a mass phenomenon that started this really intense fad for calypso music. And for a while, people in the music industry thought that calypso would actually outlast rock and roll, and thought that rock and roll would be the passing fad and calypso would be the music that would define the 20th century.
Can you imagine if we lived in that alternate reality?
No, not at all.
We'd probably be going to the Hard Calypso Cafe tonight.
Right.
If something was awesome, you'd say, like, that calypso's. Calypso on, brother. I've hit calypso bottom.
It's kind of hard to say. it doesn't really roll off the tongue, huh?
I've hit calypso bottom rolls off the tongue for me.
Calypso bottom, yeah.
Do you think the joke is funny?
It's very funny, yes.
So in 1956, Americans have become obsessed with Trinidadian music, and a Trinidadian dance isn't far behind. The next year, limbo pops up in calypso-themed movies, including a film called Island in the Sun. Newspaper articles start promoting the limbo as a weight loss exercise. National magazines run how-tos on how to pass the bar. And there's an explosion of songs to help you belly up to the bar. Some are instructional.
Now all you do is bend your knees. It's as easy as a 1, 2, 3. Just clear.
Very informative.
Some are more celebratory, like Chubby Checker's Limbo Rock.
Every limbo boy and girl, all around the limbo world, gonna do the limbo rock, all around the limbo clock.
That brings me back.
And others are more freeballing with their limbo connection. So we've got limbo in movies, magazines, music, and eventually major television networks. Julia Edwards actually performed the limbo on Ed Sullivan's show.
The Ed Sullivan Show.
And Sonia told us it was a huge deal.
Everybody thought, oh my God, this is the zenith right there, you know? Because you're on the Ed Sullivan Show, and Ed Sullivan himself, if you look at the clip, is totally amazed by what he's seen.
This is incredible. Here is a limbo dancer going under the fire.
So by the 1960s, limbo had officially gone viral.
Let's hear it now.
It's on TV, it's on radio, it's on the stage, it's in theater, it is at record stores. You can't avoid it.
Eventually, it got marketed to kids. Wham-O, the company famous for making hula hoops, came out with a limbo kit. And it got so big, it never really went away. So that's how limbo got transformed from what it was to what it is today.
So much more interesting than I expected. Probably will, like, never be able to forget the fact that it started as, like, a funeral dance. My, like, mouth was actually open when you were telling me.
You're not alone, Sonia says.
I think when I tell people, this has happened to me when I've gone to the United States to be parts of different dance events and so forth. And I tell people, but you know, this is the origin of that. And they're absolutely fascinated. They're absolutely bowled over because they never knew. They just thought about it as, how low can you go? Right? Because that's what they know. I can't blame them. That's what they know. That's what they were fed.
Well, what should we be thinking about the next time we limbo under a bar?
I think you should think Trinidad and Tobago. That's the first thing as the origin. I think that you should think about the ancestral heritage of the practice. But I mean, I'm not suggesting that you get all solemn about it and not have fun. But I think that there should be some understanding about its origins, about its meanings. And I say meanings, plural, because several meanings have come to pass with it, from enslavement to religious to entertainment. So if you understand the multitude of meanings that it has, that it carries with it, I think you can, whoever does it, whoever looks at it, whoever sees it, experiences it as an audience member or as a performer, I think will get a fuller experience and a broader and a richer experience for having understood all of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just not saying you should avoid doing it, but should just have more information and understand the history.
We asked Sonia if she has any hopes for the future of limbo, and she said that one of her hopes has already been realized because there's a young woman of Trinidad and Tobago descent who has taken limbo to a new and amazing place. You have to just see one more video before we go.
Okay.
We're going to text it to you.
Okay.
This is Shamika Campbell.
Oh my goodness. Okay. She's like wearing a superhero costume and she's limboing under a car. She's holding a plate of like glasses of water. Oh my God. She looks awesome.
Now I see history repeating itself because I think she was on Ellen or some or one of those talk shows showing her skills. And I laughed when I saw that because I said, look at that. 50 something years after Ed Sullivan, it's still a wow factor.
Unbelievable. Thank you.
I mean, I can't believe that a human can do this.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess with some practice.
There is not enough practice in the world that would allow me to limbo under a car holding 6 cups of water.
I feel like I have to try. Maybe I'll try to like limbo under my bed later.
How has limbo moved on the scale of weirdness? It used to be an 8 when we started this show.
Yeah.
Where is it now?
I feel like I would want to like move it down to be a little less weird because now that I understand it, it's not as wacky to me and it's actually kind of more clear. Maybe like a 6.
How low can it go?
Yeah, maybe 5. Okay, 5.
Aurelia, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was awesome.
If you liked the music from this episode and you want to hear more, head over to our Spotify playlist. That's at elt.show/limbo. And if you have a question that you can't get to the bottom of, like you've tried, you've Googled, you've asked people, and you still cannot get an answer, give us a call, 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka, Doug Barron, Robin Foster, and Rebecca Thiel. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored and mixed by Dara Hirsch. I'm Fune. Goodbye.
Hi, this is a comment about the flamingo episode. I know I'm late commenting, but I only just discovered your podcast. And I just wanted to tell you about a mascot even more ridiculous than the banana slug. Of course, respect to banana slugs. I went to Rhode Island School of Design in Providence, Rhode Island, and the mascot there is the Nads, which is literally a cock and balls that skates around on ice skates during hockey games. So I just thought you'd like to know that, and have a great day. Thanks. Bye.